where I'm going. So, as I said, I'm Nathan Wallach. I'm a professor at Stetson University. I teach in the digital arts program, which is part of the creative arts department. My specialty is sound and audio and those types of things. And I do a lot of field recording as part of my creative practice. And so that's where this presentation comes out of, that field recording work. So just to kind of set the stage for this presentation on helicopter routes in Northeast Scotland, this presentation will not be full of acoustic measurements and quantitative observations. Instead, my goal today is to draw attention to this specific geographic region where I feel that anthropogenic noise is potentially having a profound impact on public lands. These are initial field observations. That's kind of how I would frame this discussion today, coupled with research into the cultural context surrounding these sites, these particular sites that I'm going to be talking about today. I hope this will yield some interest from you, either for potential collaboration, for advice, for input on how I can carry this research forward and conduct some more extensive acoustic measurements at these sites, at these locations, and learn a little bit more about the soundscapes in Northeast Scotland. So my talk is organized around six headings. So those six headings are, first an introduction, a background about the research. I'll dive a little bit into my methods when I'm out field recording. I'll talk about the site where I started, which was Seton Park in Aberdeen, Scotland. Then move on to talking about the Aberdeen Airport, the Eithin Estuary, and then talk a little bit about some conclusions toward the end. So starting off with some introduction, just in terms of the origin of this project, this started as a part of my Fulbright Scholar exchange. I was in Aberdeen, Scotland at the University of Aberdeen from January to July 2021. This is an exchange that was set up pre-COVID. If you know anything about Fulbright, the Fulbright program, it's a lengthy application process, a lengthy interview process, and getting approved for it. My intent was to be exploring and field recording on public lands in Northeast Scotland while I was there on exchange with the University of Aberdeen. Just simply exploring and documenting the soundscape. It obviously took a big change when the COVID-19 pandemic happened and we had all these shutdowns. And it looked for a little while whether I might not be able to go, but in talking with the Fulbright Commission there in the UK, I framed it to them as a historic opportunity to actually visit and study some of these public lands, these sites, when they have reduced foot traffic, reduced activity, and be going there in that regard. So I arrived in Scotland, this is the map of Scotland here, on the 13th of January 2021, which was just about a week after their third national lockdown started. So it was a very strange, unusual time to be parachuting into a foreign country and trying to set up and get my feet underneath me. Where I was in Scotland is, if you're familiar with Glasgow and Edinburgh, you have to go north and east in order to get to Aberdeen. I've marked it with a little red dot here on the map of Scotland. It's on the coast of the North Sea. So facing east across the waters toward Scotland. Just to zoom in a little bit more, this is Aberdeenshire, which would be the surrounding county around Aberdeen, so you can kind of see where it is, see the layout. You've got the Cairngorms National Park to the west of Aberdeen. You've got the Spey River Valley, which if you're a whiskey enthusiast, you're familiar with the Spey River Valley. A lot of that is located in this region as well. But in terms of my methods, moving on to those, obviously I had to abide by all of the COVID lockdown policies. I couldn't go gallivanting all over the country of Scotland. And the one fortunate thing with the COVID lockdown restrictions is that walking and exercise was considered an essential activity. Even at the highest points of their lockdown, walking and exercise was considered an essential activity. So I considered it fair game that if I could walk to a site with my gear, I was within the COVID guidelines for going out and recording things. My equipment that I use when I'm out recording, I use a Crown SAS microphone, which is a stereo quasi-binaural microphone. So you've got really closely paired, but it has a barrier in between it, so you get good stereo separation when you're listening back over headphones with this microphone. I'm recording with a Sound Devices Mix Pre, so I get good high quality recordings with that. In addition, I capture a lot of metadata. So I typically, when I'm out recording, I'm usually listening over headphones real time, writing down notes as far as like when I note things in the environment, especially things that I might be able to identify visually, but then not really know what they are sonically on the recording at that time. So I make notes for myself while I'm recording in a little journal that I keep with myself. I also capture a fair bit of metadata on my phone. I've built a custom app for myself to capture the date, the time, the GPS location, as well as weather details. I keep a little like weather meter that's typically sold to like golf enthusiasts to kind of track the wind speed and that sort of stuff. So I capture the temperature, wind speed, which is good for diagnosing, like, is that noise on my recording or is that noise from the wind hitting my microphones, those types of things, as well as organizing a little bit of geographical landmarks, keeping some notes on that, and taking a photo to make sure I can know where I was at that location, and a compass direction as well, because I'm doing stereo recordings and I want to know like GPS location where I am and roughly which compass direction I was pointed when I was making that recording. So so this gives you an idea of the amount, the information that I am tracking and I am capturing as part of my field recording. The site that I really began with in terms of my public land is Seton Park. Seton Park is a park within the boundaries of the city of Aberdeen. It's on the north end of the city. It is in the corridor that is known as Old Aberdeen, the oldest parts of the city. And it is at a location where the river kind of takes this interesting bend around some geological formations. There's actually a fairly deep, like a little ravine, probably taller than this room is, frankly, in terms of where it's kind of winding around. But the Seton Park would have been part of the zone where the bishop's lands, when the bishopry was set up at this cathedral, St. Makar's. And it's essentially a floodplain where the river kind of floods into it. It flooded as recently as a month ago where they were having really bad rains, and it flooded the land, basically. But it let me look at my notes here, 1714, it fell into the hands of a private family, and it was managed by that family from 1714 to 1947, one continuous family as an estate. But in 1947, it was sold to the city and converted into a park. And so when you're in the park, you've got soccer pitches, you've got a playground, you've also got wildlife like oyster catchers, gulls, swans, all that sort of stuff. But you also, while you're out enjoying the surrounding, you get helicopter overflights like this. So to give you a little bit of numbers, according to my notes and my records, I made 16 visits to Seton Park. I recorded about 8 hours and 15 minutes of total audio documenting the soundscape across 29 recordings from the 10th of February to the 24th of June. So different, everything from right after the snowfall to spring flowers flowering around the park, basically, nobody in the park to, you know, kids playing in the park, that sort of stuff. But the helicopters became a kind of consistent part of the park. Part of the acoustics of the park, though, is created by the fact that around the edges of the park is this, the geology has created these raised ridges. And so they're about 3 to 5 meters tall. And so when the helicopters are flying over the park, it just resonates in this little gulf, this little ravine that's part of the park, basically, and makes it, you know, quite annoying, basically, if you're trying to enjoying the soundscape, enjoying kind of being in a public park in the city. So this led to me starting to investigate the actual airport in Aberdeen. And I know I'm not a pilot myself. I know enough about piloting, though, that helicopters fly under what are called VFR, visual flight rules, and you can actually obtain these VFR maps as part of the public. Anybody can obtain these. Here in the United States, they're on the FAA website. You can just download them as a digital file, but in the UK, you have to actually send off for a paper copy through the mail, and so I did that and got the VFR map for North Scotland to kind of see what was going on over Aberdeen. If you zoom in on Aberdeen, you can kind of see here, let's see, you see where it says Bridge of Dawn on the map, that's roughly where Seton Park is, and just to the west of that is where the airport is. It says Aberdeen Dice. And so the helicopters are flying back and forth across this. And what I learned through my research was that Aberdeen's airport is the world's busiest commercial heliport. Which was news to me before. I did not know this before going there. I don't think it would have changed my project, but it definitely would have been nice to know before going in there. The reason for this is quite simple: the North Sea oil. So all of the workers, all of the supplies that are run out to the platforms in the North Sea for these oil platforms originate there. Now that the country is largely converting to wind and wind farms that are out at sea as well, those are also being serviced through helicopters. So it's a very important base of operations for servicing all this energy supply that's coming from the North Sea. But if you scroll up the coast, you can see these lines that are running off the coast. These are helicopter main routes. These are defined routes for helicopters that just run right up the coast and then send the helicopters off in different directions, which was revealing to me. And to know that, to know that this is kind of an invisible, you know, if you've got a 10-lane highway in your backyard, you kind of know that it's there visually, right? It's not without digging into the VFR maps that you find out that there's a 10-lane highway for helicopters running up and down the coast of Scotland. The data on flights coming out of different airports actually is posted publicly on the Civil Aviation Authority's website. And so more recently, I've been able to download from this time period and actually compare. This is a table comparing 2020 with 2021 at various months equivalent to when I was there. And you can see in 2020 where the drop-off happens in terms of airplanes, yes? So we go from in January, 3,642 takeoffs and landings to 600 in April 2020. And you can see then the changes that happen in 2021, where it doesn't quite recover by the time I'm leaving in June, right? It's still not back to what it was in 2019 levels, basically. But if you have these in mind, this is just the planes. If I show you now the helicopter numbers, you can see that we have a unique situation where, one, there's not as much variability here. We're only looking at a variation of plus or minus 12% on average between 2020 and 2021. There's not a significant drop off from March to April 2020, right? And if you compare these numbers with the previous numbers on fixed wing, we actually have a situation where now helicopters are more present than their fixed wing cousins, basically, okay? But if I scan then, so this is kind of just giving you an understanding of the situation in terms of the helicopters and their presence in the soundscape overall. So moving up the coast to the Eithne Estuary. The Eithne Estuary is where the Eithne River dumps into the North Sea. I'm getting close to my time, so I'm going to try to wrap up as quickly as possible here. The Eithne Estuary is where it dumps into the North Sea, and there's a lot of wildlife in this area. It's actually home to the Forvie National Nature Reserve, which has very large sand dunes and hosts to a lot of wildlife. There's a seal haul out site which has probably, I saw one source that quoted, it can peak at around 3,000 seals hanging out there. You have a ternary where terns come and nest in their breeding grounds. But jumping from my map to the pictures here, you can kind of see looking out north over the estuary here. This is about a kilometer. This is a panoramic view, kind of a kilometer in each direction, basically showing you the estuary. At low tide, the water level gets very low, but then when the tide comes in, it comes in pretty quickly, I can tell you, because I was situated about this point when the tide started coming in, and within 15, 20 minutes, I was underwater. I had to kind of quickly back myself up. But at the ternary site, you have a similar problem with helicopter overflights. Hear a little bit of the terns chattering in the background, the thousands and thousands of terns, which I had to record from across the river because you can't, it's blocked off. You can't walk up to the tern site because you'd be disturbing the animals, but you can definitely hear them across the river because it's a huge sound having thousands and thousands of birds nesting and breeding like that. This is not a site that I could walk to. This is 12 kilometers north of the city. It's in the Shire, so I could not go there during the first two and a half months of my stay because I was restricted to the city. But once I could rent a car and go up there, I made 6 total visits, about 16 recordings, 3.5 hours of sound. On one occasion, I was hiking to a site that I wanted to record, and the helicopters were just going, and I just pulled out my notebook and started recording the time. I clocked 7 overflights in an hour of helicopters on that date and that hour, basically. And so it's definitely a site that where the helicopters have a potential impact on the wildlife, including the seal haul-out site as well. So in talking about my conclusions, just if you weren't familiar with Aberdeen Airport before, hopefully you are now in terms of it being this unique designation of the world's busiest heliport. And definitely during the COVID lockdown, there was a much smaller change in those helicopters than there was the fixed-wing aircraft. So this kind of popular narrative of, oh, the air travel quieted down, basically, was not true of helicopters in this region of Scotland. It's definitely a regular source of anthropogenic noise in Seton Park, in Forvey National Nature Reserve. And after visiting, listening, and recording, I firmly believe that these are sites that need further study and need a more regular monitoring of the impact that these helicopters are having. I'm looking for collaboration. If there's people that are interested in that, I've got good contacts over there in Scotland. But I just present it to you and kind of as a site of interest, basically a geographic location that you may not have heard of before, but is definitely being impacted by where the natural environment is being impacted by our anthropogenic noise. So I have to end by giving a few thanks. I have to. Even though she's not here, Dr. Caitlin Palmer, who was the chair of this session, invited me to submit and present today to you about this research or about some of my research related to the COVID-19 pandemic and the shutdown and all how it was impacting soundscapes. I have to thank the US-UK Fulbright Commission for granting me the opportunity to do this exchange. I have to thank the University of Aberdeen for hosting me, although hosting in this case during a lockdown meant a lot of Zoom meetings and trying to call people and get contact with them. But Suk Jun Kim and Pete Stollery are my colleagues over there that were did their best to host me and make sure I could find my way around via Zoom. And I have to thank Stetson University for granting me a sabbatical to be able to take on this exchange in the middle of a pandemic. As you know, the pandemic has been very hard on universities as well, but it was a historic opportunity to record and document some of these sites. So that's the end of my presentation, and I'll happy to take some questions if you have them. So thanks.